Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I can see by your face, John, that you don't quite have it. You recognize it, but you're not sure.
Not yet.
It's the music from JAG. Because we have the governor of the great state of Florida is on the line with us, a former member of the Navy Reserves, a former JAG officer. Of course, he worked with SEAL teams real closely. But Governor Ron DeSantis, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, it's great to be here. I know you guys just had the Blue Angels, big show, and I know that's a treat.
Absolutely. I didn't know if you loved JAG or not, or if, you know, that was even a show you watched. I just figured that would be fun music that maybe not very many people.
You know, it's interesting. Not really, but that's pretty catchy music and stuff. And so it's interesting. You know, my kids are football fans, second grade, first grade, and pre-K, and so they're big Florida State fans, which has not been for us this season. But I've gotten them excited about the Army-Navy game. I've tried to explain to them, and so they're learning, like, anchors away and everything, and so it'll be interesting to see. I've never gone to the Army-Navy game. I was actually on the board of the Naval Academy before I became governor, and I just never made it. I always had things that came up, so I'm going to try to get that done at some point. I know we got a lot of great Florida midshipmen that are up there from Florida, so we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so cool. And, there will be better years ahead for FSU football for sure. So obviously we wanted to have you on to talk about some of these amendments. You have been on a statewide push to cover particularly Amendments 3 and Amendments 4. And we've had other, you know, members of your administration, you know, Ricky Dixon was on, and we had one of your senior advisors on last week to talk about Amendment 3. We'll get to that one. I wanted to start with Amendment 4, though, just because I haven't had anybody on from your administration talk about this. Somebody out there hears about Amendment 4 and they think, I just don't think the government should be restricting mine or my friends or my child's access to abortion down to 6 weeks. This would do what, and why are you opposed to it?
Well, one, this is being funded by far-left groups out of state, and foreign money has come into this. And so this is Soros. This is all the organs of the left trying to make their imprint on Florida. So the way I tell people is this is an amendment to the Constitution. If you're 100% sure, unless you're 100% sure this is going to be good, you vote no, because you can't unring the bell. You can't fix a constitutional amendment through ordinary legislation. And so I think the default has got to be no. They got to prove to you why this is something good. And first of all, they didn't define any of the terms. If you read the amendment, you don't know what any of the terms mean. They could have defined them like they do, like people typically do in these amendments. They chose not to. What does it mean in terms of protections for unborn? No protections allowed whatsoever, basically. They say any elective abortions through viability, which they would define at 26 weeks. So you could have 6 months in. Perfectly healthy baby, heartbeat, can feel pain. And those abortions at that point are dismemberment abortions, very painful for the unborn child, which ultimately that should matter if you're causing harm to somebody else. But then there's a loophole that would basically allow elective abortions all the way till the moment of birth, like in Colorado, like in California. And people sometimes say, well, those don't happen. They do happen. There's tens of thousands of late-term abortions that happen in the United States every year. The majority of them, by far, are elective. In other words, they're not medical reasons to be able to do. Second, they talk about a health care provider. If you read the language, that's very important, because there's people that aren't pro-life that say, look, you know, they don't support protections for the unborn. They think the mother and the doctor should make the decision. This amendment would say a health care provider could green light a late term abortion. And so obviously there's a whole host of people that would qualify to be health care providers that are not medical doctors. So you would end up having some of these abortion clinics being quarterbacked by non-physicians. And that's going to be very, very dangerous and really crazy that you would put that. But that was a deliberate choice that they made, because they'll make more money this way. This is an industry, after all. And then it eliminates parental consent. consent for minors. So in Florida, they can't give your kid a Tylenol without you consenting. But somehow this, which is something that's much more momentous, they could have a non-physician green light a late-term abortion without a parent consenting. And what they're doing is they're doing a bait and switch. They're saying, oh, you can have parental notification. But notifying the parent something's happening is not the same as the parent consenting. So that's a repeal of rights for parents. And then the final thing is just this industry, when things like this pass, like they did in Michigan, they will go into court, try to find a liberal judge, and they will sue to be able to have taxpayers funding these abortions, which is just totally unacceptable. So if you're voting for Amendment 4, just understand, you're not voting to just tweak an underlying law in Florida. You are voting to impose a very radical regime, but to impose that for all time to where people wouldn't be able, you know, the legislature wouldn't be able to go in and reinstitute parental consent. So it's a horribly written amendment, and these are people from out of state that really don't have Florida's best interests at heart.
You know, one of the things I said about this amendment was that if they had simply gone for 20 weeks or 24 weeks or something like that with no other flaws, the ones that you laid out, I think they probably could have won with a pretty sizable majority. I think it would have had a much better chance of passing. I'm terrified that this one might pass, but all of the things that you noted, all of the little changes in words that make big changes in legal standing are the main flaws in this. And one of the things I've been trying to tell my audience the same thing that you said, which is constitutional amendments should get voted no on unless you're absolutely sure that it's right, it's written right, it has to be done in the Constitution, and you're willing to take the chance that it can never be changed or revoked, because that's what constitutional amendments do. I think that's the right analysis across the board. We're talking to Governor DeSantis. Everybody says it DeSantis. I know you say DeSantis. I try to say the way you say, but I don't always succeed. Does that ever bother you, Governor DeSantis, that people say DeSantis instead of DeSantis?
No, that honestly is the normal pronunciation. It's just, you know, when I'm like people like will look me up online or go to my website, they will spell it D-I or D-A with that pronunciation. And so I just got in a habit of when I'm giving out my information, you know, that I try to say it the way it's spelled. But DeSantis is basically the way that it's typically said.
I never knew that. So, OK, so you yeah. did that. You say it wrong on purpose so people can spell it right. That's so fascinating. All right. So we know the flaws with Amendment 4 and why you're opposed to that one. Let's talk for a second about Amendment 3 with marijuana. This similar kinds of problems. If you just read the ballot summary, it looks very straightforward. We want to let people use, you know, marijuana on their own and keep the jails from being clogged up. But the actual language of the bill is fundamentally different from just that, right?
So, again, how did this amendment get here? Okay, it didn't just grow on a tree. This amendment was written by the CEO of a mega weed corporation. They have poured $141 million and counting into this effort of corporate funds. They would not do that unless they were trying to get a payoff on the back end. And so this amendment is drafted in a way for them to maximize their profit. So, and it's not about your freedom, and it's not about good policy for Florida. So, for example, you'd have the freedom, quote unquote, to possess and use marijuana, but only if you buy it from them. They do not give you the right to grow your own. They also don't limit public consumption of marijuana. So if you're a Floridian most Floridians don't care if people are smoking marijuana and they're homes or anything, but they want to be able to walk down the street, be in restaurants, all this stuff, without having this clouding up everything like it does in Denver and all these other places. And so you have a situation where that freedom is going to be infringed upon. And so I think that freedom should be respected. But one of the giveaways of how this is just a corporate takeover attempt, and you will not get this if you read the ballot summary. You actually have to read the text of the amendment. And if you read the text of the amendment, they give themselves total immunity from civil liability at all aspects of business operations. And so if they sell you defective weed, you can't sue them. If they have a traffic accident with one of their weed trucks, you can't sue them. I've never seen that type of immunity put in to an amendment, or certainly even in statute. And again, this is in the Constitution, so you would not be able to fix that by legislation. And you hear people say, oh yeah, Amendment 3, it's flawed, but the legislature fix it. No, they won't fix it, and they can't right. fix it because of the way this is structured. But then you also have the arguments that they're making in favor of it. They say, well, people shouldn't be in prison for smoking marijuana. There's nobody in Florida's prison system for use of marijuana or possession of personal amounts. And they also say this is going to be a boon for education and all these other things. There's nothing in the amendment that gives assent to education or law enforcement or anything. That's just totally fabricated. And the experience in Colorado was that they actually have not ended up raising money over the long term. I think maybe initially they raised some, but what happens is when you regulate and tax, it raises the price. And so the black market ends up getting bigger. That's what happened in Colorado. It's what happened in California. That is absolutely what would happen in the state of Florida. So it's a horribly written amendment. So even if you're for weed, this is not the way to do it. In the Constitution, basically to service one company. If you're indifferent to weed, this is going to cause big problems for Florida's quality of life. And if you're against weed, obviously, you know, you would want to vote no.
I did want to ask you a question that has come up in sort of media critiques of you on this, because you're obviously using state resources of various kinds to advocate against Amendments 3 and Amendments 4. And the critique has been that the governor shouldn't be putting his finger on the scale, shouldn't be using state resources to oppose or favor an amendment one way or the other. What would you say to those folks?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of what they're saying is false. The ads that are up against Amendment 3 saying vote no on 3 or vote no on 4, those are not paid for by taxpayer funds. Those are all privately raised donations. And understand, the other two sides on 3 and 4, they've spent over $250 million trying to change Florida's constitution. We've been able to raise some money, not even close to that much, and I just think that's important to be. Now, we also do things traditionally, things like public service announcements. So our Department of Transportation has a budget to run ads every year, and we have been running them, letting people know about driving while high, what that does in terms of increased accidents, insurance premiums, all that. But that is all money that is funded and that we would traditionally do. Now, we can do it in different things, but because this is an issue, but those are not ads that are advocating against Amendment 3. They're public service announcements. Same thing with Amendment abortion. They are running ads, the pro-Amendment 4 people, saying, talking about rape, talking about ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages, all this stuff. None of that is impacted by Florida law. So they're putting out really brazen lies that I think puts people in jeopardy. I mean, if somebody is pregnant and has a miscarriage and they're being told by these liberal groups that you are not allowed to get medical care in the state of Florida, I mean, that is outrageous. And so there have been a lot of public service announcements just saying what Florida law is and talking about what resources are available for expectant mothers, talking about the exceptions, talking about how not only a physician has a right to treat, but has a duty to treat, and they'd be committing malpractice if they weren't. So that's totally appropriate. I think that people, you know, unfortunately think lying is a good thing, and that was the least that we could have done to do. But all the commercials that are saying vote no on these things, you know, those are all privately funded, but everything we've done has been 100% appropriate.
Yeah, and given especially on Amendment 4, the number of lies that have been told about what current Florida law is, because it's actually very reasonable, the current Florida law, I appreciate those. That makes sense. I mean, the governor, just like the president, has the opportunity to use his bully pulpit and certainly to stand up to clarify what existing law is.
Think about it. You know, we've worked hard. Florida is like, you know, just think of all the stuff we've accomplished. You know, we have people pouring in here, which I'm not necessarily advocating for because it gets crowded. But I mean, Dick, we are attracting people who have moved their feet because we've had success, education, crime, all across the board, you name it, we've done it. So why as governor would I want to put in 5.5 years of my life, we'll do another 2.5, you know, as governor, why would I want to have work hard to do the best I can and then to have us become California through the back door with these interests pouring in $250 million to change our constitution? I think both amendments are bad. They're horribly written. They're being put by people with an agenda. But I think it's also critical that if these pass, then you've basically just told somebody you don't have to win an election in Florida for governor. You don't have to win state legislative races. All you got to do is flush $125, $130, $150 million into trying to put your agenda in Florida's constitution. That's why I think they're both going to fail, because I think Floridians look at this and say, well, wait a minute. You know, all these people are like the Amendment 4 money. Some of that's foreign money. 1630 fund is funded by a Swiss billionaire. They've put in, I think, 15, 16 million $1 billion. All the money on the Amendment 3 is one company has done 95% of it. They've done over $141 million. Trulieve, is that the way we want our society and our constitutional system to work? No, of course not. So not only do I have a right to be involved in this, I have a duty. This is, I was born and raised here. My kids, I have young kids, they're going to grow up here. And I want Florida to be the best that it can be. And these amendments would not do that. It would be, they would both be harmful for the state. And I'm not putting my finger in the wind. I don't know. Yeah, I think they're both going to fail. But when we started, they both were relatively popular, right?
Right. And that was my finger in my wind. Original concern. Yeah,
I'm going to lead, and we're going to get the job done. And I think people are going to be pleased at how these turn out tomorrow night.
Well, Governor Ron DeSantis, thank you so much for the time. Personally, thank you so much for what you did, especially during COVID, leading Florida through that in an extremely effective way. I appreciate it. And tell your kids there's better years ahead for FSU. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
From your lips to God's ears. Thanks, brother. See ya.
You bet.